Welcome to Share the Bites, Episode 7, Who Wants Pie?
Okay. All right, welcome everybody. We're back here at Cafe La Scala. It is Friday the 13th.
Yay!
And today's an interesting show because we have the raspberry pie.
We have one of the first units. It was donated to Partemis as a donation for the work that we've done, working with kids in schools, promoting Linux and open source. And we have one here today.
Outstanding. Oh, and wow. So we don't forget, we have myself, Ian Lin.
Grant Bowman.
And Bethany Doolin.
Outstanding. So, why should we care about the Raspberry Pi? What makes it so special?
Good question.
Well, I'm here is to hear about this. I don't know a lot about it, but I've been hearing quite a bit of excitement about Raspberry Pi, and I have one in front of me.
This one's not the Raspberry Pi that you see in front of you.
Okay.
This is the MK802, which is a more beefier version, and they were built in because everybody saw what the Raspberry Pi could do, and then people were saying, well, let's try to do it one up.
Who makes that one again?
This one is made by a company called Rico Magic over in China. Mm-hmm. They also have a UK office, which does more of the website stuff, but the main manufacturing plant is in China. And actually, there's a really cool YouTube video of them showing you putting this thing together, and they show all the internals, and they talk with the engineers who designed this, and they go over and show you what each and every single one of the chips are. But again, this isn't the Raspberry Pi, but the thing is the Raspberry Pi started all this this idea of inexpensive microcomputing.
Again, it's right into the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it does. Yeah, I mean,
that's a really small one. Yeah, it's a lot smaller than the Raspberry Pi, but it's also not an educational project. It's a commercial product. It sells for about
$70.
$70. Yep. And so the Raspberry Pi is a little special because it comes out of an educational a project to help people learn computer science and programming.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, why did they do this in the first place?
Good question. They really started the project really to help people learn programming. The cost of computers is high, so for $25 you can get a nice little computer. And it costs more, obviously, to run a system. You need a keyboard and a mouse and a monitor and a power supply and a case and all these other things. They're just now starting to ship. Some of the first units have started landing. We really saw a lot of interest about the Raspberry Pi when we were at Maker Faire, hosting a booth there to promote open source and Linux in the San Francisco Bay Area. And there was a lot of interest. The founders spoke at the Maker Faire, but they didn't have any units on hand to demo, and we did.
I know, it was quite exciting. I mean, we just got a lot of people at the booth that are saying, oh, is that the Raspberry Pi, taking photos of it. We had a demonstration of it running Debian Linux with the XBMC, showing movie trailers to show how powerful it really is and what it can do.
Okay, Grant, right here you have your brand new Asus monitor.
Yep.
And my understanding is you just plug that right into your handheld computer, your Raspberry Pi.
Yep.
This replaces your desktop computer. Is that correct?
It does. Okay. Yeah. The small little board replaces the standard desktop that you're using. It uses an SD card for storage, not a hard drive. This one is an 8 gig micro SD card in a little adapter that's plugged into the side of the board. And it's got HDMI output here. Ethernet here, two USB ports, analog audio, and analog video output.
Okay.
So you can actually run this on a regular TV as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It also has 1, 2, 3, 4 connectors for various add-on boards that are going to be coming later. It's powered by a micro USB port here, just 5-volt, 1-amp micro USB adapter. I use the one that came with my phone to power this, and got it booted last night with the latest version of Debian that is the default install for this. It's a Debian 6 that was released about 2 months ago, three months ago. So that's a nice little computer. The idea is to get more computers in people's hands for $25 or $35 with Ethernet. It's an outstanding shift in the economics of computing. Mm-hmm. You have to buy a monitor, you have to buy a mouse and a keyboard and a power supply, and this doesn't come with a case, but there are cases available when you order the Raspberry Pis from the two different distributors that are doing it, Allied Electronics in the United States and RS Electronics in the UK. They're manufactured in Taiwan, which is why the price can be so low.
Mm-hmm. You're more familiar with this, so what would be some of the possible drawbacks or some concerns that people might have?
Initially, it's not a very powerful computer. It's an ARM V6, and it only has 256 megs of RAM. So that's the biggest limitation, I think, is the RAM. The SD card is really nice. You can upgrade that at any time. Just swap it out and boom, you're done. That's perfect. It's got HDMI for video, so that's pretty good. All the newer monitors can support that. Older monitors, VGA monitors, would need some kind of adapter, or you need a new monitor.
But what's interesting about the Raspberry Pi 2 is that they didn't only put an HDMI port that carries both video and audio, but they also have a component connector, RCA, and then an audio jack out, so you could plug it into a older style television as well.
Right.
And that's something unique in and of itself, because the MK802 and other higher end microcomputers, it's HDMI only.
Things are going towards HDMI, but a lot of people are still using VGA, especially for projectors and things like that. When you take your laptop around, most of the times it's still VGA. So HDMI is kind of pushing the edge a little bit as far as the state of the art of technology, what's available widely. I think it's a good choice because it's a small connector and it's digital rather than analog. So I think it cuts down on the components on the board. I think things are more easily done on the system on a chips these days with the HDMI. Yeah. All the newer electronics are geared toward the newer standards. Yeah.
And I mean, the idea of microcomputing is just, I think, so brand new, and the amount of concepts around it, the applications you can have, it's kind of mind-boggling of what you can do, because since it hasn't been out for very long, we really haven't seen its full capabilities yet. I mean, a lot of people are using these things, or their ideas as home entertainment and media servers, but you can do so much more than just that.
Mm-hmm. With Moore's Law, as components get more powerful, something that's smaller and smaller can act like a desktop used to, or a mainframe used to, not so long ago. So this little computer that fits in the palm of your hand really can be as powerful as a desktop of just a few years ago. And in a few years from now, it'll be more powerful. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is running, what, I believe, at 600 megahertz, was it, or 800?
I'm not sure on the spec on that.
Yeah, I think it's something like 600, 800 megahertz. And then, again, it's got 256 megabytes of RAM. Mm-hmm. And then all the storage is the SD card itself. So how much memory can fit? It also has USB ports for extended USB hard drives. Memory spaces can increase for how big you want it. Really, you're only limited to CPU and RAM because those are hardwired to the board. They're not expandable. But what we're seeing so far with all these applications for smartphones, you really don't need the world's fastest in components in order to create some rather interesting and innovative applications. I think that's also one of the reasons why we saw such a popularity with the original netbooks, since they were low-powered computers. A lot of people just wanted them for email, web surfing, and a few other things, and they were very happy with low-powered. And with this microcomputing, I think you can do a lot with just that, same with netbooks, but they're also much lower power. We're talking 5 volts at 1 amp, so...
Right.
Yeah. Talking about 5 watts of power. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's standard USB. You can power it with any old USB power adapter just these days, as long as it's 1 amp. A lot of them are. And you can actually, I haven't tried it, but you can plug it into a computer and it'll supply that for your USB component. So it's the the Moore's Law and the power and the capabilities have brought the units to a point now where they can be powered on just about anything, which is good because it's standard for power supplies and it's much lower power. It draws less power. You can run these on, you know, solar panels if you get low enough on the power, you can do wonderful things with the powering. Now, that doesn't include the power that you need for the monitor, obviously. This isn't the only power you're going to need to run a system, but it's dropping all the time, which is good for lots of reasons. Yeah. We just looked up the on the RaspberryPi.org website, in the FAQ section, the processor on here is a system on a chip that's running at 700 megahertz.
Okay, so I was close, 600 or 800, and 700 is right down there in the middle.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, Jeff, we have a guest here. Want to introduce yourself?
I'm Jeff Spernad, a technology consultant. Right now, currently working for HP on several projects. And I've actually just purchased the MK802 because it comes pre-cased and Android's already loaded on it, so I can use it as a development platform. I see the Raspberry Pi as more of a developer tool than an actual end-user product because you do have to have a case, you do have to get all the extra accessories, versus the 802 came with everything in one little box, ready to plug and play. Mm-hmm. Still the same issues with you got to build your own OS depending on what you want to do and what you want to run. The potential of doing things with it, though, the Raspberry Pi, the way it lends itself out with the video out and the audio out, you can do a little bit more with it because it does supply mostly older technology. But it will serve actually as a pretty good platform to actually just be a standard server if you want to be an in-house server. That's more techie for us techie types who want to broaden our little expansive domain here.
Have you seen one before?
I've seen it, well, at least on websites, and at the Make Fair.
Okay, very good.
So I have seen it before in there, and I have compared it against the MK802 in there for what's there. Uh-huh. And, of course, MK802 does have a case, but cases do come off.
Yeah, through Allied Electronics, you can order a case with it as well. You can order HDMI cables and a pre-built SD card. So although the original project only did the guts, the distributors, Allied Electronics and RS, are providing kits so that you don't have to build your own as much. It's still early, though. It's still very early.
Early on, Arduino came out. It was more just a controller. You wanted to control devices. This takes it to the next level. Now you've got a full processor on there that you can actually put your own style of program on it. And it's very handy in its size to actually put your own battery power supply, plug it up, run it, get it running on a monitor, and put it as an independent monitoring device somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or independent projects. You can run a camera or anything else off of it. You can have it sitting out there filming squirrels if you want.
But now Arduino is targeted at a different audience, right? That was targeted at do-it-yourself kind of hobbyists and doing kind of projects and processor things. This is really targeted at education and learning computer programming. So very different target audiences. So in that way, it's quite different. But the power, certainly, with Moore's Law, Arduino came out how many years ago?
Two, three.
Yeah, a few years ago.
It's been a while.
And I'm sure that the next version in a year of this is going to be even more powerful still.
Oh, it will. I mean, you look even today. Your cell phone beats out your old 8088 that you got originally from IBM for $10,000. Okay, this now replaces that 8088 for $35 rather than a few hundred dollars for your cell phone. So it's ideal for if you want to build inexpensive computers that you want to hook up and run and distribute. Mass market. Any area that needs quick replacements of hardware that you need to set up, you can set up a series of devices and just offload them. For training classrooms.
Yeah, it runs a standard Debian ARM build. It's an ARM processor, not an Intel processor, which is why it can run so low power. Unfortunately, it doesn't run Ubuntu, because Ubuntu only supports down to ARM v7. As far as the cores, this is an ARM v6. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't quite make the standard that Ubuntu has set for their automatic builders. Now, if somebody wants to come in and pay for the automatic builders to go, it can be supported as well. But for now, it's Debian and Fedora and a few other distributions that are supporting it out of the box.
Some very interesting applications, certainly. And again, I think it's spawning a kind of a revolution in computing.
So why should we care? Price.
That's what
exactly.
I'm getting to.
Yeah.
How is this low price going to start affecting?
We don't know. Yeah. Good question.
Again, I mean, it's the cheapest out there. If you compare it against the Raspberry Pi against the MK802, the MK802, it sells for $70. Here, Raspberry Pi, $25 to $35.
$25 without the Ethernet, $35 with. Yeah.
Yes. So I could buy two or three of these things for the price of an MK802 or another microcomputer of similar capability.
What I find out when buying a new monitor with HDMI capability, though, you're going to spend $160 at Fry's, at least here locally in the Bay Area, to get a monitor to run this thing with.
Yeah, but that's what I like about the Raspberry Pi is because it still has component out. So if you have an old-style TV,
true,
you can still use it.
True.
With the other devices that are HDMI only, you've got to spend that extra for an HDMI-capable monitor. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, another... That's a barrier to entry of sorts is the HDMI. Yeah. But with the component there and also the audio output, they've reduced that. So it'll still support older monitor hardware.
It was just 2 weeks ago that I got my invitation to actually order my own unit for the Raspberry Pi because I got in there right when people started hearing about it. And so for those that are following along, it has an HDMI out, and I used an adapter to go from HDMI to DVI and then plug the DVI into the monitor. Mm-hmm. I had some video problems. The initial build of Debian didn't boot quite right, and so the one that I tried more recently did work. So I'm still trying to get it going, although we had it running at Maker Faire mm-hmm. really well. I had some troubles getting it going, and I think I need a different adapter or a different cable to get it working correctly with this particular monitor. So there's still, you know, it's still early days. You can buy, I would recommend buying the kits from Allied Electronics. I think that they have components that are not expensive and, you know, qualified to work with this hardware. So, you know, there's still, and I provided my own keyboard, USB keyboard, USB mouse. One thing I want to get is a USB hub so that I can plug in a Wi-Fi adapter, a USB Wi-Fi mm-hmm. adapter if I wanted, or other USB devices. Since there's only two ports, you need some kind of USB hub with it to plug in more things.
Exactly.
So that's another limitation of this, at least these first revision boards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can do amazing things with this, and I care about it not only because of the price, but also because it's focused on education and teaching programming. Yeah. I have on my website, grantbow.com, an introduction to the command line. And I welcome feedback on that and trying to get more people involved in understanding what computing really used to look like and how it's still, if you encounter problems and you need to dig in and find out what's going on, you still need the command line. Mm-hmm. And in Unix and Linux, you can do that very easily. It's a little more difficult on other platforms, but still possible. So.
How do you see this affecting education?
Well, it's targeted at providing more people with a platform to learn programming. That's the whole point. That's why these people did it. It's a UK project for schools because of a lack of qualified graduates in computer science and technology. So if the website has more information about where it came from and things, so you can take a look at that. I think it's very important. I work with Partimus, it's trying to do the same thing, address a need for technical literacy in the Bay Area for the companies in the area as well.
Okay.
So what do you think of their website?
I like their website.
You like the logo there?
I definitely...
The little case I got is red as well, the red raspberry color.
Yep.
Yes, www.raspberrypi.org, and for anybody who doesn't know, it is P-I, not P-I-E.
Yes.
But it is very informative.
And lots of people are going to know how to spell raspberry now. raspberrypi.org.
Yes, please, if you have any questions about Raspberry Pi, that's the best place to go. It has all the information. And if you have questions about DVLUG, please check out dvlug.org. You'll find all of our contact information. And you'll find all of us here, Grant, Ian, Beth, and guests here the second and fourth every Friday of the month.
Yep, second and fourth Friday of the month.
At 7 p.m. Cafe La Scala in Walnut Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.